I suspect there are hundreds of thousands. Maybe there are millions. There are certainly many. We can hear them on the radio, on television, in pulpits, at seminars, in books, on YouTube, in newspapers, in magazines, and so on and so forth. Of course, there are many who do speak for God, but sadly, there are many that do not. Some are what we would call false teachers. The Bible is full of warnings about false teachers. The Old Testament warns of them. Jesus warned of them in his ministry, as did Paul and Peter. And here in 1 John, we find John doing the same thing. In fact, John tells us that many false teachers have gone out into the world. Not just some, but many. God has his messengers, but sadly so does Satan. And John informs us in these verses that all we hear spoken in the name of God comes from two ultimate sources. The Spirit of truth and the spirit of the Antichrist. Ultimately, all that we hear coming from men either comes from the Spirit of God, it comes from God, or it comes from the spirit of the Antichrist, or Satan. Now, the fact that there are so many false teachers who appear as wolves in sheep's clothing, it's troubling, isn't it? It's a concern to us. But John's purpose in writing these verses is not to alarm us. On the contrary, it is to encourage us and to help us. And I think he provides us with three big encouragements from these verses. Firstly, we can test every spirit. Secondly, we can overcome every false spirit. And thirdly, we can know when the Spirit of truth is speaking. So let's deal with these headings one by one. Firstly, we can test every spirit. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. My nan used to believe everything the pastor said from the pulpit. There was no way that you could argue with her over anything that he said. He was always right. Thankfully, the pastor who my nan loved so much, was a faithful gospel minister. But we need to be careful, don't we, that we don't take on board everything that a man might say from a pulpit in a church, for the simple reason that he might be telling lies. I think it's fair to say that there are quite a number of people in this world that are somewhat gullible and accept all kinds of things that men say. There are people who are sometimes very easily taken in by the impressive oratory of an individual. There are people who are taken in by the appealing nature of their message. Others are taken in by the novelty of the message. And some are taken in because the ministry is accompanied by signs and wonders, or what we might call miracles. But we shouldn't be taken in on the basis of these things. We need to be careful to apply biblical tests. biblical tests. And I want to mention some tests that the Bible tells us that we need to apply whenever we are listening to someone who claims to speak for God. We're going to mention the one that John mentions, but before I mention the one that John mentions, let me mention a few others. Jesus, you may remember, said that we can recognize false prophets by their fruits. Watch out for false prophets, said Jesus. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. I would suggest that when Jesus speaks about fruit, he's talking about their lifestyle, their manner of living. In the book of Deuteronomy, we are told that a prophet sent from God can be recognized by whether or not his prophetic ministry comes true. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 22. If what a prophet claims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alone. Again, in the book of Deuteronomy, we are told that a true prophet can be recognized by whether or not he encourages people to obey God's revealed word, or whether he leads them into idolatry. Deuteronomy 13, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your mind. There are probably other verses that we could refer to as well. But the Bible does tell us how to recognize the true and the false. What tests to apply. Now John here provides us with an all important test. Does the person who is speaking tell the truth about the person of the Lord Jesus? Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? In other words, do they acknowledge that Jesus is the eternal Son of God made man? This, you see, is what the false prophets in John's day were unwilling to acknowledge. Look at verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. All the cults and all the false religions in this world invariably go wrong when it comes to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't they? According to the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is the first creation of God. Oh, they acknowledge him to be a God-like figure, but they only view him as a God. Not the God. Not the Word made flesh. They don't recognize him as the second person in the Trinity. But having said this, I'm sure that you've discovered this as you've spoken to Jehovah's Witnesses on your doorstep. Mormonism teaches that there is a pantheon of gods, which includes Jesus and the Father. In other words, Jesus is just one of a number of gods. Furthermore, they argue that Jesus, before his incarnation, was a created being and the brother of Lucifer. And no Muslim, of course, considers Jesus to be divine or the Son of God. And I'm told that on the Dome of the Rock, the mosque in Jerusalem, are written the words, God has no son. The cults and the false religions of this world go astray when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ. And that is what makes John's words here to us this evening so vitally important. What do we do when we come into contact with people who deny the Bible's teaching about the person of Jesus Christ? We reject their message. They are false teachers. We don't listen to them. Now, when I say that we don't listen to them, I don't mean that we don't engage in conversation with them and endeavor to win them to Christ. What I mean is we don't take on board what they are saying. For what they say does not come from God. On the contrary, it comes from the Antichrist. Their teaching is false at its very core. And therefore it is to be viewed as demonic. Secondly, this evening, we can overcome every false spirit. Verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. John was concerned because there were lots of false teachers seeking to influence the Christians. And they had come up with these new ideas about Jesus that were false. But the believers had stood their ground. They had not accepted the ministry of these men. And I think it's fair to say that the same kind of thing is happening today within the mainline denominations. There are quite a number of people within quite a number of mainline denominations who deny the fundamental teachings of the Bible. Influential people. People with degrees, doctrines in theology. But there are still many within the main denominations, ordinary Christians like you and I, who do not accept what they say and are standing their ground. Why are they standing their ground? Because they recognize the voice of their master. They recognize the voice of their great shepherd. And they will not follow the teachings of a stranger or a false teacher. Listen to what we read in John 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice.
But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice.
Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. And why is it that the believers in John's day recognized Jesus' voice? Well, because the Holy Spirit had opened up their ears in order to recognize his voice. The Spirit of truth, you see, was in them. It was by the Spirit's enabling that they had made their stand against error. And friends, I would argue that we can overcome every false spirit too, every false teacher or false prophet, because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every one of us. He enables us to recognize the voice of Jesus when it is heard. But thirdly this evening, we can know when the Spirit of truth is speaking. And here we're looking at verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. Now John says three very interesting things here about false prophets. Firstly, he says that they are from this world. Secondly, he says that they speak from the viewpoint of this world. And then thirdly, he says that the world listens to them. See, the world loves what false teachers or false prophets say. This is why so many of them seem to gain such a following. There are vast numbers of people that belong to cults. There are vast numbers of people that belong to false world religions. There are many people that enter into so-called churches week by week to hear the kind of ministry that's not Christ-centered, but makes them feel good. As I was preparing, I read something of what David Jackman says on these verses, and I couldn't help but resolve to quote him this evening. So let me do that. The world, he says, of mankind is in rebellion against God. Sorry, let me start again. The world of mankind in rebellion against God is attracted by false prophets and their cults because fundamentally they have the same desires and inclinations. They will always get a hearing. When such prophets, political or religious, proclaim the glory of man and the fulfillment of human desires at whatever cost and by any sort of behavior, people will jump at the idea. We human beings want to be assured that we are basically all right, and that any ideas about sin and judgment or accountability to a creator God are outdated and unnecessary. There is an attraction in restating the Christian gospel in terms of an ethic, in changing the message from one of submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ to one of following his splendid example, or asking him to touch us up in those areas of our lives that need a fresh coat of paint. It is all governed by this world and the desire to make it a more comfortable place where you can enjoy yourself more. It has nothing to say on issues of eternity. It has no dynamic by which lives can be changed and offers no ultimate significance beyond the grave. Well, we don't want to be listening to false teachers, do we? We want to be listening to those who speak for God, even though the message might be difficult for us to receive. Who then speaks for God? How can we know when the Spirit of truth is speaking? Well, look at what John says in verse 6. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens
to us. Listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Listens to us. Who is John talking about there? Well, I think he's making reference to the apostles. Those whom God entrusted with the message of Jesus Christ. Those who were given the responsibility of providing the foundation of truth concerning Jesus that the church is built upon. The voice of Jesus, the voice of God, the spirit of truth is to be heard in the writings of the apostles, as found, of course, in the New Testament. If what we hear does not accord with the teaching of the New Testament, then quite frankly, we should reject it. It is not from God. Everything that we receive must be in accordance with it. Now this sounds like a fairly straightforward matter, doesn't it, to take on board? But I still think that we have to be careful. Let me give you a couple of examples as to why. There are a lot of false teachers who say that they believe in the authority of the Bible and make reference to the Bible. But you see, they don't acknowledge the supreme authority of the Bible. And they want to place the teaching of the church or perhaps new revelations alongside the Bible, or worse still, over and above the Bible. There are many, of course, in the church today who would affirm the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we recognize as believers that is of vital importance. It is a primary doctrine. There are those who affirm the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they're still false teachers. Why? Because they deny his bodily resurrection. They are only willing to affirm some kind of spiritual resurrection of Jesus. So we still need to be careful. But as I say, we must test everything that we hear according to the word of God. We need to be like the Bereans. And as I finish this evening, I want you to listen to what we read about them in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. I wouldn't encourage us to be like my Nan, as lovely as my Nan was, as godly a lady as she was. We mustn't blindly receive everything that we hear. We must make sure that all that we hear is in accordance with the apostolic witness. We must make sure that everything that we hear and take on board is according to the word of God. Let's pray together, and then we'll finish with our closing hymn.